I was thinking of that song that we just sang, and something that sticks out to me is where it says, I owe my life to Him. Do we really believe that this morning? I know for me, there's really no doubt in my mind that I owe God everything. If it wasn't for Him, I wouldn't be here this morning. And there are times where the Lord has to remind me of that a little bit, you know. I think sometimes we can get in the frame of mind of my life. And if I really listen to myself say that enough, I start to think that, no, it's not my life. It's God's life. I owe my life to Him. And so I belong to Him. And I really want to have that frame of mind going through life. And that my life belongs to the Lord to live and to serve Him. And that is my priority in life. And He's given me a life to enjoy, a family to enjoy, and many blessings as a result of me giving my life to Him, you know, and allowing Him to direct my steps. And so I want to ask ourselves a question this morning, and maybe we can turn to Micah chapter 6. Starting in verse 6, it says, wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? I'd like to stop right there for a second. What doth the Lord require of thee? You know, He was talking about in the beginning of this about burnt offerings and 10,000s of rivers of oil or 10,000 rams offerings. And it reminds me of the time when Saul said, yes, I've done the will of the Lord. And Samuel asked him, well, what is all these, the bleating of the sheep that I hear behind you? He said, well, we brought these as an offering unto the Lord. And Samuel asked him, does the Lord have as much delight in burnt offerings or sacrifices as much as He delights in obedience, in doing the will of the Lord? And so although we do have a sacrifice to give, and thank the Lord that Jesus Christ was the sacrifice for our sins, the blood sacrifice, that He shed His blood that we might have for the forgiveness of sin and the deliverance. But the Lord delights in obedience. And now what I was thinking about that, and it says obedience rather than sacrifice, but really obedience is a sacrifice. For us to be obedient unto God, we're sacrificing something to do that. We may be sacrificing our own desires and our own wants and wills, the pleasures of this world. It's a sacrifice to be willing to reject yourself and to receive what God would have for you, or to deny yourself to live unto God. And so, what doth the Lord require? Certainly there are aspects of a sacrifice that's required. We cannot come before God without Jesus Christ. We could not come before Him and have a relationship with Him if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for us. And so certainly that would have to be first. But what does the Lord require of thee, says? And he says, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. So I'd like to just talk a little bit about these three things. To do justly. What I think about when I read that, it's like the scripture where it says to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. I think of the parent that has two children that are fighting over dividing a cake, right? And they're fighting over whose piece is which piece, you know? And the mother tells the children, okay, one of you divides it, and the other one gets to pick. And you get to find out some justice, right? And they get to painstakingly decide how to cut that thing as even as possible, because they know if they cut it wrong, the other one's going to pick the biggest piece, right? To do justly, to treat other people the way you would have them to treat you, in a sense to have fairness, if you will. And so that is something that the Lord would require of us, to be that way, to have that be a part of our character, that we would never want to have someone else lose so that we might gain, kind of a thing, you know. But to have an attitude of justice for others, to love mercy. You know, I think of that, and a lot of times we could say, yes, mercy, mercy, mercy for me. Right? Mercy, when we're in the need of mercy. You know, when we're in the hot seat, you know, we want mercy, compassion, forgiveness. We want all of those things. But a lover of mercy is not asking about a lover of mercy for yourself. It's someone who has an attitude of mercy for others, who's willing to be merciful and kind and forgiving and to others, and being a lover of mercy in that way. And that is the characteristic of God. He's so merciful. The mercy that he's shed out upon us. It says that while we were yet his enemies, Christ died. Christ died for those who were spitting in his face and ridiculing him. And in his mercy, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It's a lover of mercy, of compassion. What doth the Lord require of us? But that we have a heart like that. A heart that is just, a heart that is merciful and kind and generous. He requires that we walk humbly with our God. I think of that and say, what does the Lord require of us? Well, he requires of us to be repentant. That we would turn away from the life that we once lived and walk wholeheartedly for the Lord. That we would recognize our need for a Savior and a Deliverer, and to receive that sacrifice that he shed, the sacrifice that we spoke of earlier of Jesus Christ shedding his blood, that I could identify with that sacrifice and say, Lord, that was for me. He did that for me, that I might be saved, that I might be delivered. It was my sin that caused that. And to be able to walk humbly and say, Lord, help me never to do that again, to never live that way again, to walk in righteousness and purity before you. What does the Lord require of us? I could look at these things and think that the Lord requires of us that we be delivered, that we be saved. So our first priority in life, you would say, is maybe that we be saved, that we be delivered from our sins, that we be washed and purified and cleansed before God. Amen. What else does the Lord require of us? Let's go to Titus. You know, I think of this question, what does the Lord require of us? If I was to present it out to everybody right now, what does the Lord require of us? You know, we may have a few different answers of each different one. You know, I don't believe that you can answer that as a blanket statement necessarily, because where you are in your relationship with God can determine that answer for you. And so if you're not saved today, and you don't have the blood of Jesus Christ washing or purifying your heart, then that may be what the Lord's requiring of you today. That you give your heart to Him, that you give your life to Him, that you repent and turn from your old wicked ways and walk in newness of life and seek the forgiveness of God. That may be what He's requiring of you. But maybe the Lord has already done that for you. And you've turned your heart over to the Lord, and you've turned your life over to Him. You've repented of your sins, and you're following after God. And Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So here's another thing that God is requiring of us, or that we would walk godly in this present world, soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That means like right now. So what does the Lord require of us? You know, I think of back in my early deliverance, if you want to say, where the Lord saved my soul and He delivered me and He forgave me of my sins. And I found out that there was something else. You know, I wanted the mercy of God. I wanted the forgiveness of God. I wanted the grace of God. But the Lord showed me that I needed something more. I needed to live for God. I needed to be like Him. To walk in His character, in His attributes. I needed the fruit of the Spirit in my heart and in my life that was directing my life. That it was impacting my every move in life. I needed a new nature within me, a new heart, a new mind, a renewing of my mind to think things differently. You know, I was thinking about how, when I was first delivered, it was like there were certain things that I could just stop, you know. And by the grace of God, I was able to stop. We were talking in Sunday school this morning about people that smoke, you know, and the struggle it is. But a lot of times they can be delivered, you know, through just sheer force or will to say, you know what, I'm not doing it no more. And there's a lot of things that we can do in our lives that maybe we can just shut it off, right? But there's things that you cannot just shut off. And it's those things that are in your heart. The things that cause you maybe to smoke. Or cause you maybe to steal. Or cause you maybe to cheat. Things that are within. That you can't just shut it off. I was thinking about, you know, children, say, playing a game. You know, and there's this temptation to go a little extra moves, maybe, than what you're supposed to go. What is the drive? What is the purpose of that? Why would you have a propensity for that? To cheat. Because you want to win. Why do you want to win so bad? Why do you want to win so bad? And you can, if you go deep enough, you're going to find some propensities in you or some carnality in you that's spurring along this thing. You might say it's pride to want to win, to be victorious, to prove that you dominated the, I don't know, what is it, chutes and ladders, you know. Why do you steal? What makes you, what drives you to want to do that? Covetousness. How do you shut that off? If you have a propensity within you to that's driving you towards those things, how do you shut that off? Where you're not proud. Or you're not covetous, envious. You can go on. These are things that are within. The only way we can shut those things off is by the power of God, giving us a new heart and a new mind, creating in us a new heart. But that is what the Lord requires of us. And so, like I said, if maybe you've been delivered, maybe the Lord has saved you, and you're rejoicing in that, and you're so thankful for the forgiveness of your sins, and you've got a new lease on life. It's like, whew, I'm fresh, you know, starting anew. But then I'm seeing these propensities that are still within me, that are still battling me, that are still causing me to gravitate towards things that I don't want to have any part of. And I'm seeing the evils of these things, but I don't see the power within me to overcome them or to reject them. What doth the Lord require of me? I would say that you be sanctified, purified, and given a new heart. That is something the Lord has to offer you. The Lord can give you power over those propensities within you. And give you newness of life and allow you to walk righteously and godly in this present world. It's in the scriptures for a reason. Because it's something that God would have to offer us. And so for us to get to a point, well, what does the Lord require of me? And you stop at the forgiveness. You say, well, that's what the Lord requires. That's what He wants. And yes, that is true. But the Lord wants you to go on. The Lord wants you to pursue more. And so I would say the Lord wants you and me to walk in sanctification and newness of life. And that is what He requires. At one point in your life, maybe He's requiring you to receive a sacrifice. At one point in your life, maybe He's requiring of you to repent. And at one point in your life, maybe He's requiring you to be sanctified. First Thessalonians 4. First Thessalonians 4 and 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. This is the will of God concerning you and me. This is what the Lord doth require. So we might say, well, I've done all that. The Lord has saved my soul. He's delivered me. He's cleansed me and washed me from all my sins. He's given me new life. He's created in me a new heart. Do we stop there? I think of the man that said, Lord, what must I do to be saved? And he said, well, you know, do the commandments, you know, love your neighbor as yourself, do not steal, do not covet, you know. And the man says, well, I've done all these from my youth. What lack I yet? And so I could think of that in the same sense as us now saying, what does the Lord require? Well, the Lord required that I be delivered and be freed from my sin, that I be forgiven and washed. The Lord required that I be sanctified and purified and that I would walk in newness of life. What lack I yet? But what lack I yet? Some may say this is enough. I mean, this is a tall order anyways. I mean, to walk righteously and godly in this present world with all the things that are around us, with all the temptations and the evil that's around us, you know, I mean, isn't that enough? But what does the Lord require of us? Let's go to Romans 14. Romans 14, verse 7. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. What does the Lord require of us? I was talking about this in the beginning. I owe God everything. I owe my life to Him. And this scripture says that we don't live unto ourselves. Neither do we die unto ourselves. In other words, it's not all about us. It's not all about my life. But it's about God. And the life that He has given to me, a gift of life. Is it for me to live unto myself? You know, some people would get jealous of God or jealous to God and say, why does God require this of me? Who is God that He's going to require this or that He's going to demand this or that? He's your Creator. He's the reason why you have breath to breathe. Who are you, oh man, to speak that way to God? We owe our life to Him. And it's not for us to just draw it into ourselves or to live in it unto ourselves, but it is for us to live it unto God. So what does the Lord require of us? What does the Lord require of you? Let's go to Luke chapter 12. Luke 12 and 48. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. What I want to focus on in that scripture is, unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. I think of a scripture. Well, actually, let's go ahead and turn to it. Matthew chapter 10. What does the Lord require of me? Maybe He's requiring much of you. Because you've been given much. Because the Lord has blessed you immeasurably in the salvation of your soul and the deliverance that He's given it to you. And so maybe He's requiring much of you. Matthew 10 and 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. What does the Lord require of us? In this particular passage, he says, freely ye have received, freely give. You know, we can look at that and think, well, these monetarily, you know, if I give enough money, that it makes it okay. Well, he wasn't talking about that. He wasn't really talking about monetary at all. In fact, he told them not to even take any money with them. No gold nor silver in your purses, nor two coats. But what he did tell them to do was to go and to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, minister unto the people. What does the Lord require of us? Freely we have received. Freely we've received salvation and deliverance. Freely we've received sanctification and pureness of heart. Freely we should give to those who don't have that. Who don't have that experience, that don't have that understanding or even that knowledge that they can have that. That's available to them. Do you know that people don't even realize, don't even understand what the gospel actually offers? It's amazing to me that it's the case. But, I mean, there's people that don't even know anything about God. Because they were never taught it. They never grew up in it. And so they really don't even know what is offered to them. They don't really even know that they can be delivered and freed. Let's go to Acts chapter 6. So I was thinking about this, and I don't know about you all, but I know that for me personally, what does the Lord require of me? I might ask myself that from time to time, maybe even often, because to me it's always something new. I'm actively living for God. And so the Lord may put more on my plate. To him that has been given much, much is required. And so as the Lord continues to give unto me and to expound in my understanding and helps me to understand him more and to develop in my relationship with him and the acknowledgement of the truth, the Lord's going to require more of me. And so I've actually internally asked the Lord over and over again, and my desire is that I would maintain a heart of saying, I owe my life to you, Lord. And so I'm open to whatever the Lord might require because I owe it to him. And so here we have in Acts chapter 6, verse 3, it says, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, seven men of honest report. Okay, so they had a need. The widows weren't being taken care of, and so, well, how are we gonna meet this need? And this was the response. They were to look out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. And so when I look at this, I think of somebody who's prepared for something next. So these men were saved. delivered, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, cleansed from their sins. These men were filled with the Holy Ghost, sanctified, and meet for the Master's use. Is it acceptable for them to just be hanging around? Or what does the Lord require of you? The Lord had something else for them to do. And I'm not trying to suggest that they were just sitting around doing nothing. I trust that the Lord was using them where they were. But the idea is that that's not enough. We need to be able to have an attitude of continuing on. What does the Lord require today? Where am I at in my relationship with God? And am I willing and prepared for Him to require more of me? And so the apostle says, go out and find those who are filled with the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. And so they weren't just sitting on their hands trying to delegate this to somebody else and not doing anything of themselves. But the Lord had given them something to do as well. What does the Lord require of you? Where are you at? What is the Lord suggesting unto you and where you stand in this? Are you needing to be saved? Are you needing to be freed from your sin? Are you needing to be forgiven and washed? That's available to you today. Are you needing God to sanctify your nature? To give you a new heart? To be able to serve Him and to live for Him in righteousness and purity, godly? Or have you got all that and you're wondering, what do I lack yet? And we can ask ourselves, what does the Lord require of me now? What can I do? Where am I, Lord? If I'm sanctified, then the Scripture says I'm meet, or meet for the Master's use. In order to be meet for the Master's use, we should be sanctified. But you know, there's a lot of things that God can use us in if we're willing to allow Him to. If we're examining ourselves and we're presenting ourselves before the Lord and saying, Lord, what does You require of me? And being willing in our hearts to say yes and amen to His will. Maybe the Lord would have for you to make it possible to have a place of worship. You know, I think of those who are involved in the day-to-day activities of this facility here that make it where it functions and it's equipped and provides for us an opportunity to come together and gather together to have a place of worship that others can come in and be able to hear the Word of God and maybe find salvation into their souls. That is something that God is using them in to do. We need that. You know, maybe we say, you know, I'm not a preacher. But Maybe the Lord can use you to preach a message through a song. Distributing to the necessity of the saints. I think of those who take time out of their day to go and visit those who are sick and afflicted. That is something the Lord can use us to do. To be an encouragement to someone else. A strength, a ray of hope. Are we willing to be all those things or one of those things? Are we willing to allow God to use us in those capacities? We don't live into ourselves. And we don't die into ourselves. And I know sometimes that can be difficult to really draw it all in, you know. But the reality is our priority needs to be in service to God and to His kingdom. And then He says, all these other things shall be added unto you. And so it's not that you forsake it and you lose out, but it's a prioritizing of God and His kingdom and souls. It's important. And that's why I oftentimes reflect and ask the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, what does you require of me? What lack I yet? Or what's next? What would you have me do next? And I would pray that we would all be that way. Looking unto the Lord for what's next. It could be anywhere on that spectrum. I don't know where you're at in life. I don't know where you're at in your relationship with God, but I know He knows where you're at. And He knows how to help you and how to strengthen you and how to encourage you, how to get you to the next thing. And He is doing that, actively doing that in your heart. And may the Lord help us to be open and willing to allow Him to direct our steps, to direct our lives, and to get us where we ought to be and where we need to be. What does the Lord require of you? I don't know. I don't know where you're at in life. But I can say that there is a requirement to be had. There is something that God does require of you. You're not all done. If you're living and breathing right now, you're not all done. There will come a day where time ceases to be for you. And you'll go off into eternity. But now is not that time. And the Lord does require something of you. Well, I don't know what the Lord requires of you all. But I know that He has requirements for me. And I look to live and to serve the Lord with all my heart and every bit of my life. And I pray for the same for you. And so I ask that you all would pray for me because I want to serve the Lord. And I want my mind to be single in that. And that I'm serving God. I've heard some say that they want to spend their days and their time in service unto the Lord. As long as they breathe the breath, they're serving God. And I want to do the same. It's so easy to get caught up in the things of this life and all the things that we can do and have available to us. And I'm not saying that those things are wrong or bad or anything like that. But I know that at least for myself that I have to zero in and be reminded and know that my life belongs to God and that I no longer live unto myself. But I've been bought with a price and I belong to the Lord and I want to serve and live for Him all the days of my life. I appreciate your prayers and thank you all for your attention this morning.